Hello and welcome to the Swiss Info Program. I'm Susan Masika. That was the sound of fighting in the ancient Syrian city of Palmyra earlier this year. The Syrian civil war, which began in 2011, continues to kill, injure, and displace hundreds of thousands of civilians. In this program, we'll look at another aspect of the destruction in Syria, that of historic ruins and monuments, destruction that the Director General of UNESCO, the United Nations agency responsible for culture, has called cultural genocide. But how important is it to save temples, statues, or other works of art while men, women, and children don't have food, water, shelter, or medicine? Where does archaeology come in the list of priorities in a war? Thomas Stevens asked three archaeologists, two Syrian and one Swiss, who were in Bern to deliver a TEDx talk on reconstruction and preparing for life after war.
Of course, as an Syrian archaeologist, I'm really very, very sad, and this is really, really tragedy for our cultural heritage. But of course, first thing after I heard or I see what's happened in Baal Temple, in Palmyra, or in Baal Shemin Temple, the first thing that we should focusing in how we can reconstruction. Because what's happened is happened. We are archaeologists. We are not politic. We are not armed group. We are archaeologists. So our goal, our job, to protect cultural heritage.
That was Mohamed Fakhru, a lecturer in archaeology at the University of Aleppo, the worst-hit city in Syria's civil war. I met Fakhru on a hotel terrace overlooking Bern, where he studied for a PhD on a beautiful sunny day, surroundings that couldn't be further from the living hell of Aleppo. He had just taken part in a 10-minute TEDx talk. Short, informative talks are organised around the world on a wide range of subjects. He was passionately telling me about his emotions when he saw Islamic State's demolition of the Temple of Bel in Palmyra, for example, or the Buddhas of Bamiyan in Afghanistan, which were blown up by the Taliban. I put the same question to co-speaker Cynthia Dunning, director of ArchaeoConcept, a Swiss company that finds solutions for problems encountered by archaeologists and heritage managers.
Well, first of all, a destruction like that is appalling. There are no words that can describe it. And it's got several levels. First of all, you have the level of the destruction as a weapon. It's a weapon of destruction. Somebody's trying to destroy the past of a whole country. The past is all the memories. And that's you cannot replace either. So we have to work towards trying to find methods to impede that from going on in some way or another. And the way to impede that is to get people involved on reconstructing the future in these countries. It can be in Afghanistan, it can be in Syria, it can be in Iraq or wherever. And those are very, very important steps. And how can we do those steps? That's the thing that we have to think of as archaeologists.
The armed conflict in Syria began with anti-government protests in March 2011, in the wake of the Arab Spring, before escalating into a full-scale civil war between forces loyal to President Bashar al-Assad and those opposed to his rule, as well as jihadist militants from Islamic State. According to the International Committee of the Red Cross, 8 million people have been displaced inside Syria, 4.5 million people live in besieged cities and hard-to-reach areas, and 4.5 million refugees live in neighbouring countries and beyond. 1.5 million people have been injured and 250,000 have been killed. One of these was Khalid al-Assad, an 81-year-old Syrian archaeologist who had looked after the ancient ruins of Palmyra for 40 years. He was publicly beheaded by Islamic State last August for reportedly refusing to reveal the location of ancient artifacts that he had helped hide. Palmyra is considered one of the archaeological jewels of the Middle East and is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. The city's 2,000-year-old ruins and monuments included the Arch of Triumph, the Temple of Baal Shamin, and the distinctive tower tombs. All of these were destroyed by Islamic State last year for being, in their view, idolatrous. So who are the victims of this cultural destruction? Everyone, says Mohamed Al-Khalid, a postdoc student of Near Eastern Archaeology at the University of Bern and the third speaker at the TEDx talk.
All the world, yes, the humanity, the cultural identity of all the humanity, because the cultural heritage, it's belong to all of us. It's like a global issue. It's not like a Syrian issue. It's a global one.
Some people, however, question focusing on saving temples, statues and other works of art while men, women and children don't have food, water, shelter or medicine. Where does archaeology come in the list of priorities in a war? Mohamed Fakhru.
It's a really a good question, because many of my friends all the time asking me this, why you are caring about stone? You have to caring about a human being. And I said, of course we are caring about a human being. I mean, there's a human disaster in Syria. But we are, as archaeologists, we would like to focusing in the cultural heritage. I mean, in our mind, this is a way to focusing in the human being. Because in the social media or in media and all over the world, they are focusing in cultural heritage more than the human being. So we would like to speak or to say through the cultural heritage reconstruction and focusing and giving a light about the human disaster. And this is our hope, I mean. And of course, I mean, what's happened in Syria, it's our identity. It's not only for us, no, it's for the future generation.
Mohammed Al-Khalid quoted Irina Bokova, Director General at UNESCO.
She said, like, it doesn't relate it with a choice between the saving antiquity and saving cultural heritage. It's a unique battle. We have to save both, because one, like, completes the other.
For her part, Dunning said it was a question of identity.
I think that everybody lives with heritage in his mind, also as an identity. And you cannot survive without having your history behind you. And that's why it's very, very important. It completes the building up of afterwards, because you can do it on something. You can base it on something, which is the past, which is your cultural identity that goes through your heritage. So we're not making a choice between saving people's lives and saving their heritage. It all goes together. We're thinking even in advance. We're looking forward to try to get something ready for the people to build something up again after the war ends, whenever it will end.
In their TEDx presentation, Dunning, Al-Khalid and Fakhro focused on the work of SHIRIN, which stands for Syrian Heritage in Danger, an international research initiative and network. SHIRIN brings together experts in various fields to support governmental bodies and NGOs in their efforts to preserve and safeguard the heritage of Syria. However, Mohammed Fakhro is not convinced that governments and international organizations take cultural heritage issues seriously enough during a war. He wants to see action rather than just words.
In my opinion, they should doing more, because till now we just have words from UNESCO, from all of this international archaeological community. We just have words. I mean, we should looking on the actives. We should looking of the groups. And this is what we are looking for in SHIRIN Suisse. We would like to build as a team. This team should be very active in participation in the post-conflict reconstruction. This is what we are looking for. We can say from now till 2 months in the future, okay, the cultural heritage in Syria is in danger. And then what? We should do something, I mean, in the ground for protection before this happened, if we can. I mean, when nobody is care. I'm sorry to say that.
Dunning, who is responsible for the Archaeological Service of Canton Bern from 1998 to 2010 and is an advisor to SHIRIN's International Committee, says that while the large international organizations such as UNESCO, ICOMOS, the International Council on Museums and Sites, and ICOM, the International Council of Museums, can use their power to safeguard cultural heritage, they have one disadvantage.
Wherever these big, big organizations are, they are trying to do something. They have big words, of course. They have lots of power. So they use it to do something about the safeguarding the heritage. But they have one problem. They have only the partners to which they speak to are the government partners, of course. And they cannot speak to other people who are not in the government and who may be in the opposition or whatever. And that's a chance of all of these NGOs who can get the people together, people from the opposition, people from the government, and they're all archaeologists, and these archaeologists, they can work together because they don't have any problems with talking with each other, even though they have other religions, even though they have other political ideas, or even though they're Kurds or Syrians or whatever. So they can all work together. And that is one of the chances that we can have through SHIRIN also, is to open the doors to the discussion.
During the talk, Dunning referred to Switzerland's unique role as a safe haven, safeguarding the transfer of cultural property.
Well, the safe haven is something very, very special. The Swiss law allows the Swiss government to bring in cultural objects from different countries in war. That's what happened in Afghanistan. The Afghanistan cultural goods came to Switzerland and are kept in Switzerland as long as the war continues in Afghanistan, or there are problems in Afghanistan. And this is also in the law in Switzerland, so we can do that. Other countries don't have that. This is very, very special for Switzerland. Of course, we can't say, oh, we'll do a safe haven and get everybody in. That doesn't work like that. The government in Syria must want to say, well, we want to protect our cultural goods, so we will ask Switzerland to organize a safe haven for our objects. And that's not the case. We can't do it. As long as they don't say, well, okay, but it's possible in Switzerland. That's something very, very interesting that many other countries in war can use also.
But, as Dunning said, looking after another country's cultural goods is a two-way street. Mohamed Fakhro, who is also director of the Department of Excavation at the Directorate for Antiquities and Museums in Aleppo, explains why his hands are often tied by Syrian politics.
I would like to add something for the safe haven, because I personally work in the safe haven, and I try to contact my colleagues in the Director General of Antiquities and Museum in Damascus to asking or suggest for them this safe haven in Europe. But unfortunately, I mean, the law in Syria, it's not allowed to them to do something like that. So it's completely forbidden. And they said this is the red line. Because if they said that they did something like that, that means, well, the government is weak and this is they don't want to do something like that. I mean, safe haven for the cultural heritage in Syria, no, it's not a choice for us, unfortunately. And we would like to do it. I mean, we're asking them, actually, for if we can bring the objects has been founded in Turkey or in Jordan, and it belongs to Syria, and also it's not allowed for them to do something like that. So there's something political in it.
Also intensely political are the international efforts to bring an end to the fighting and civilian deaths in Syria. Currently, there's not much to be optimistic about, with the UN Security Council deadlocked on taking action. I asked Mohamed Al-Khalid, Mohamed Fakhro and Cynthia Dunning what their thoughts were for the future.
Personally, I'm not so optimistic, but we hope always, we have the hope to do something and to finish the war and the tragedy in Syria, that afterward we can do something for the cultural heritage. Let's hope.
It's hard to say, I mean, about the future, but I mean, we have to do our best. This is the idea, I mean, we have to do our best for preparing materials, team, whatever, for the post-conflict reconstruction or preservation or whatever. But unfortunately, I mean, till now, I mean, there's a dark picture, unfortunately, but we still have a hope. I mean, without hope, you can't work. So we hope that this war will end not so far in future. That's what we are looking for.
And my hope is that my Swiss colleagues will also participate in this reconstruction for the future, helping us to find places for people to do some training and things like that. That would be the most fantastic thing, is to help in any way. And I think that each of my colleagues in all the cantons or in the universities or even in the private companies could do something for it. It would be fantastic.
Mohamed Al-Khalid, Mohamed Fakhro, and Cynthia Dunning. You can learn more about their TEDx talk, Preparing for a Time After War, at swissinfo.ch. Thanks for listening, and thank you to studio technician Donny Wheeler. This program was produced by Thomas Stevens. Signing off for all of us here, I'm Susan Masika.